Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. I'm John Wiscavige.
And I'm Matt Koplik. Welcome.
And this is Broadway Breakdown. Ba-da-ba-da, tap, dance, ba-da-ba-ba, turn, turn, ba-da-ba-ba, fall out of the turn, tear your ACL, and your career is ruined.
Oh, that got dark real fast.
It did. It got dark real fast.
It got that's super like real. That okay.
That's like the mood that I'm in today.
Yeah, it's like start off kickball changing and eventually career suicide. Ouch. Okay.
Yeah. Good luck, everyone. You're in. Buckle up, buttercups. You're in for a bumpy ride.
Mm-hmm. There's no lube today, ladies and gents.
No sirs or mans.
No.
But probably sirs, because let's be honest, gay guys.
Gay guys. I think that's going to be the name of today's podcast. No lube today.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, we gotta,
dear God,
we gotta have like eye-catching headlines for these podcasts. Otherwise, how else is the world gonna notice us?
It's true. It is true. Most podcasts definitely get a following by either being like, honestly, we should see if we should get some funding, some sponsorship from like KY or Astroglide, or like, well, what would like a potential like Shark Tank Broadway-themed lubricant be called? Like,
a Shark Tank-themed Broadway lubricant?
No. I meant like if we were on Shark Tank and we were
and we were like trying to do like a Broadway-themed lubricant. Okay. What would it be called?
Yeah. Maybe something like Into the Woods or like, no. Everybody Rise. But it's
Everybody Rise
themed.
There's something there.
God.
A little night lubing.
Oh. Or like How Glory Goes. I don't know why. I don't know why.
Hand spray.
Ew. God.
I'm trying to like make it work here, okay? I don't appreciate your nose. I need some yes ands here. But you know what? You know what? We persevere, and there's always a little bit of hope in the darkest of tunnels.
It's true. We persevere, but Comet isn't, Bandstand isn't, Groundhog Day isn't.
Nope. And any day now, War Paint won't either.
No, but let's be honest. No, I mean, honestly, it was, since we've had our last podcast, it was kind of like so many shows were brought to slaughter. Yeah. It's kind of insane.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is, September and January are sort of the times of the Broadway season when a lot of stuff kind of announces, because you,
right?
Yeah, like business goes down, and if you're not, and you know, Broadway shows are expensive to run, so if you can't really make the ticket sales work, better to cut your losses there than to prolong it for however long.
Someone randomly asked me the other day, being like, "Do you think Comet will tour?" And honestly, I never even thought of that. And then I was like, "Oh, I don't know if they can. I don't know if they will. Like, do you?" I wonder about that. Like, I honestly hadn't even thought about it because in my mind, it's so specific to where it is that like, I was like, I don't know.
It's one of those things where it could, technically speaking, anything could, but I would love to see the regional life that it has once it, ends its Broadway run, because I think that it'd be really interesting to see.
I was thinking that too.
Because yeah, we're so used to Rachel Chafkin's vision. You know, she did all the incarnations of Great Comet, and I'd love to see some other theaters with, you know, wildly different budgets and casting pools really kind of attack the show and see what they come up with. I think it's a show that really lends itself to interpretation.
Yeah, I would really love to see some cool, like, even more site-specific theater productions of it around the country.
Oh, yeah.
I think that'd be really, really exciting.
Yeah, I agree.
I also had another little, I was reading something the other day, and I kind of wanted to bring this up to you as kind of my, like, first talking point. So did you see how they are releasing Indecent? I guess they filmed a production of it, and PBS, I believe it was PBS Great Performances, will be airing it.
Yes, did I see that?
Cool. I was also making sure that you saw it so that it wasn't a fever dream that I had where I, like, was just imagining that.
Am I bringing up no unreal news article? No, totally real. I saw it.
No, which is so exciting because I think so many people need to see that. I think that show was just so moving and amazing and just one of my favorites of last season. But one thing that is so interesting is there's just been such an influx of that kind of material recently. And, you know, there's been an influx of the live musicals on NBC and Fox and all those ones. But it's really interesting because all the Fox ones are like, every musical that has been done on all those, there are movie versions of those musicals that exist already. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really interesting that on one spectrum, we have like an oversaturation of shows, of musicals and shows that have multiple versions out there to buy and to witness. And then they're also, like, I feel like the PBS Great Performances is on the complete opposite side of the spectrum, where it's, like, obscure, like, we have falsettos, we have Indecent. And then I was also reading an article that was saying that they are thinking of adapting Sunset Boulevard as a musical for, like, or the like doing a movie of the musical starring Glenn Close. And I just, I wanted to kind of pick your brain about that. What do you think about all these kind of, like, theater as an art form that is then presented on television or in a movie theater? Like, as someone, I've actually never really gone to see one of those performances, but I know we talked a few weeks ago about Angels in America and you did. Do you feel disconnected from them? How do you feel when you watch a theater piece?
I'm mostly all for it. I'm so thrilled that Indecent got filmed for broadcast, because more people get to see, and B, just because it'll be preserved in a, you know, highly professional way, which is great.
Well, and if there's one thing I've always said about PBS is that it needs more Jewish lesbians.
Yeah, they've really kind of dropped the ball there for the last few years on that. Not since, like, 1997 have they had such a high prominence of Jewish lesbians.
That's why their funding's in the shit pot. Shit pot? Is that? I don't know.
Yeah,
that's a word.
Their funding is in the shit pot. But, and I don't know.
The shit pot.
I think, I would say that theater, Broadway primarily, in the last, like, 10 years has gotten a lot better at adapting to pop culture and to start going with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Because there have been, like, two times in Broadway's history where, like, it kind of really got out of step with culture. One was in the late 60s when the Beatles came and kind of took over the sound of pop music, and Broadway didn't really adapt its sound to what people were listening to on the radio. So, you know, like, wonderful shows that would have, you know, nice successful runs on Broadway, like Company or A Little Night Music or 1776, never became huge across the country. Like, they weren't songs that everyone would just, like, know because they weren't on the radio. And it wasn't really until Chorus Line that Broadway became a cultural pinpoint again. And then it kind of dropped in the 80s during the whole British Mega Musical because everybody just came to Broadway to see Phantom. They came to see Cassidy. They wouldn't go and see, like, Mystery of Bedouin Drew. They wouldn't go and see Into the Woods. And then I would say, like, the last 15 years, Broadway's got a lot better about promoting itself and, you know, I think the live musicals on NBC and Fox are sort of a double-edged sword where it's, I'm grateful that we're presenting musicals again to America, but I wish we were presenting it in a slightly more true way. I don't know how to describe that better. But, like, PBS, though, I am all aboard for. I'm all aboard for broadcasting falsettos and Indecent and She Loves Me and even Holiday Inn, you know, just let it all up there because
I forgot about Holiday Inn. I saw that too.
Well, and let's not forget, you know, the Into the Woods was filmed through PBS in the late 80s, and how many theater kids have, like, grown up with that VHS as their Bible?
Right, that's like a staple. I don't know if I necessarily, I mean, I don't disagree. But my viewpoint on the idea of, like, people seeing these movie musicals that already exist is that we have yet to have one of the live ones even come near topping what any of those movie musicals that already existed are. Like, there's such a level of awkwardness.
Yeah.
I feel like in all the live presented musicals so far, and I'm not sure what it is. Like, maybe it's because there's not an audience and now we're so used to having audiences, or maybe it's because, I don't know. I feel like there's honestly been like such a, and I get it. I get that it's live. I get that we're basically watching their like first preview, but it's their opening, their closing, their first preview. Like, I get it. But there's always this kind of like attitude about it where it's like, oh, you know, part of this is going to be a mess. And like, maybe that's just our viewpoint. Maybe like little Sally, Jesse, like Raphael, and like some little like country bumpkin kid watching it in the Midwest thinks that it's the most magical thing ever and doesn't pick on the up on the awkwardness. But I feel like there's this little kind of like, I feel like it almost perpetuates the idea that what we do is a little silly.
Oh, that's interesting. I never got that attitude from it. The attitude I always kind of got was that we should be just happy that it's happening. And I was like, okay, but like, can't we at least put a bit more effort into making it a bit more seamless and like casting more Broadway actors and really kind of showing people what musicals are.
People who can really do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because I was talking to my massage therapist this morning. Thanks, Canadian healthcare, because they reimburse you when you get a massage up here under Canadian Equity.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. I was getting a massage and we were talking, and I was saying, and so I'm definitely not knocking the live musicals or these musical versions, because the thing is, when push comes to shove, our audiences are dying left and right. Like, you know who comes to see shows that specifically aren't in New York? Blue-haired ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Blue-haired old ladies who have a good, honestly, most of them have a good 5 to 10 years left, and then we're like, well, what the f*** next? And so I think it's beautiful that we're inspiring a new generation to love those things and to want to support theater, but I want them to support the right kind of theater. I want them to support.
Oh my god!
I want them to support. I want them to support the Natasha Pierce without needing a star name in it.
I mean, you can always. I mean, you can bring the people in, but you know, you can't force them to desire to see one show over the other. I would argue.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I'm very persuasive.
You are. You are very persuasive. I shouldn't
just
doubt
just
you.
just keep me at the Lincoln Tunnel. I'll be like, what you seeing? No.
No, you're going to Great Comet. But I mean,
don't
like,
see that.
I don't know. I think that the fact that we have so many shows right now on Broadway that are actually doing quite well, now it seems so obvious, but when they came to Broadway, it didn't seem so obvious. I mean, I don't think anyone expected Come From Away to do as well as it did. And I know for a fact a lot of people didn't think that Dear Evan Hansen's off-Broadway success was going to translate as well to Broadway. And the fact that they have sort of caught on, I think, does come from a little bit of the fact that a lot of people who maybe weren't as interested in musicals 10 years ago, it's now more on their radar thanks to Hamilton and the live TV movie musicals. And as I said, you know, there's a good side to that and there's also the bad side. They sometimes will go to these shows expecting a Sound of Music with Carrie Underwood sort of situation. And it's like, well, no, like that's its own thing. And that should not let you know what to expect on Broadway.
Billy, I beg to differ with you.
How do you mean?
You're the top.
Yeah.
You're an arrow collar. You're the top. You're a Coolidge dollar.
Moving on.
She's done.
She's done. I want to do like a little quick analysis of this coming Broadway season. I'm interested sort of in your opinion, John, about what is coming in the season, what you're most looking forward to, and what you think is sort of the overall theme of this season.
I think the theme of this season is white after Labor Day.
That would be accurate.
No, I mean, it probably will be with casting. To be honest, I know it's, like, kind of a weird thing to be really excited... Not, it's not a weird thing, but it's such a typical thing to be really excited about. I'm so excited about Once on This Island. Because I think... I'm so excited that Alex is gonna be playing what's normally been played by, like, a biological female. Like, I think there's some fun things. I've never seen that show, and so I'm really excited to see it. I'm, of course, excited for The Cursed Child. Like, I think that's gonna be really amazing. Honestly, I feel like my mind just went... I feel like every show I've been thinking about just, like, flew out of my mind. What shows are you excited for?
Well, I'm also excited for Once on This Island. I love how you're like, it's such a weird thing to be excited for. And I'm sitting here going, I feel like everyone is excited for that one. So, nuts.
Well, no, I mean, I actually get, like, butterflies when I think about seeing it. So maybe that's what I mean, what's weird. Like, I actually get, like, so joyful just because, like, I'm just like, oh my god, I feel like it's going to be so good.
Yeah. No,
like, I don't know. Maybe it could not be. But, like, I think it's going to be really good.
I think it's going to be pretty spectacular. I don't know. The pessimist in me is just sort of, like, wary about so much, because there's so much that I just want to be so good, you know? Like, I am so excited for Mean Girls. I am so excited for Carousel.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm also sitting here going, like, don't you crush my heart. Like, I want them to be good so badly that if they're not, I don't know how I'll take it. I will be quite sad.
But here's the thing. I mean, like, our Julie and our Billy, I mean, those two actors separately are gold. So together, I mean, like, I didn't just get, like, an erection. Like, my heart, my soul just got an erection.
Yeah.
Like, literally, like, I'm so, oh, it's gonna be so good. They're both so amazing. And I think together, honestly, they don't even probably need a director. Let's just give them a Broadway stage and let them at it.
Yeah.
You know?
Let them go at it. I think my concern is that Carousel is my all-time favorite musical. So, like, that already I have so much at stake. And then I do think the last time it was done was pretty spectacular and has sort of a legend about it already. So not only because it's the show that introduced Audra to all of us.
Audra McDonald, right?
Yeah, it was sort of the first time a revival made us all rethink how we thought about a show. Because, like, up until then, either Broadway musical revivals were exact replicas of the original, like Sweet Charity or Dreamgirls or Oklahoma, or they were sort of like a loving homage. And they did Carousel in the 90s. It was sort of like, we're not changing anything. We're just treating it like it's a new work, and you'd be surprised how relevant it still is and how good it still is.
Yeah.
And that kind of sparked a whole new way to do revivals. And my concern is only that I don't want anything in this revival to be done new just for the sake of being new. Because everyone attached to it is so fucking talented and so right for the show. That I just want them to be true to what their instincts are. And I would love to see just what comes from that, because I feel like there's a good chance that this could be really spectacular.
I'm not the kind of fella to marry anybody. No, even if a girl was foolish enough to want me to, I wouldn't.
Don't worry about it, Billy.
Worried.
You're right about there being no wind. The blossoms are just coming down by themselves. Just their time too, I reckon.
I also wonder where Mean Girls is going to go.
Mm.
And Dreamgirls. We can't forget Dreamgirls is coming in.
Yeah, I mean, I saw this production in the West End, so...
Right, yes.
I'm good.
Yeah, no, you made your thoughts on that production known to me. But despite that, it is still coming in, so, and it does need a theater, so.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess they need a theater. They can just do it on the sidewalk.
I don't know. Maybe if they changed some of the cast up in it, it was...
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much of the cast is going to be the same. I think maybe Amber Riley, and maybe that'll be it.
Yeah, that's kind of my biggest issue.
Was her?
Oh, sorry. I hate to talk so much shit about someone, but like honestly, like I walked out of that production and I was just like, every scene, she treated it with such low stakes, like it. It was like a sophomore musical theater scene study class, and she was like, she's barely getting a C+.
Oof.
Like, she's not, she didn't do her homework, she has no emotional recall, she has no connection, she could, her fellow actors could lob up a line to her differently every night, and she would do her show exactly, like, it's, she sang the absolute bejesus out of it. Like, it was, and it was a matinee, and I was like, holy hell. But, like,
I've never been a huge fan of her acting, but I always kind of blamed Glee for that.
Right, me too.
So, I don't know. I can't, I will not judge until I see her. I will say, Jennifer Holliday, for all of her acting handicaps, she was always able to tap into sort of an emotional well for that song.
Right. Exactly. Because I know that she wasn't the most amazing actress either. But the thing is like, even if during the scenes she's not the most amazing, if during her song she could at least tap into something, it was... The only song that was really quite amazing in the West End production was I Am Changing. And I think it's honestly because it's a performance within a performance. She's supposed to be, like, performing at a nightclub. So that's what she's acting like she's doing, and she sells it, and it's amazing.
Did you see the last production, the one that like toured the States for a while? It was like 7 years ago.
You were telling me about it. This is definitely the first time I've seen Dreamgirls. It was very interesting.
Yeah, Dreamgirls is a weird show for me because I do love it, but it's a hard show to really make you feel during, if that makes sense, because the music is so ferocious. And the opportunity to be ferocious in it is so tempting that people kind of treat it like a concert. And
yeah,
it, and like, and granted, you can, I feel like you can still sing the bejesus out of that show and find an emotional truth to it. But I think that over time, the legacy of the show and its music has gotten to the point where people just sort of, they just wail, hit their marks, put on a flashy costume and call it a day.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, because the tour was very similar. Like, the Effie had a voice like none other, but there was just nothing there, and every line that everyone gave was like a big sassy remark, and the choreography was always messy, and they had all these projections that made no sense, and I was like, I feel like we need to go back to the idea of less is more and not more is more. You know, go to the simplest form you can go. And build from there.
We should have the John Doyle production of Dreamgirls.
Hey, say what you will just about John Doyle, but he would deliver an emotionally just, true Dreamgirls.
Yes, he would. No, I'm only half joking. I like just Effie sitting on a chair the whole show. I'd be into it.
Oh yeah, he would find it there, and she would, and like Dean is like peeling an onion the entire time in the lower right corner, Peer Gynt style.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Dina is an onion. She's got layers.
Yeah, she is. She's the Shrek of Dreamgirls.
She really is. And Laurel is the donkey.
Ew. Oh, poor Laurel. Laurel on the West End, amazing. She better transfer. She better transfer real
quick. Laurel is actually a great role. You know who the one who gets the short end of the stick is? Michelle. She comes on and she basically does backup from the moment she enters the stage to the moment she exits.
Oh, I was like, wait, like Destiny's Child, Michelle? Yeah, okay.
I mean, kind of.
I remember the Michelle and Dreamgirls. Yeah. I got this now.
Yeah. also,
drum roll, please. I wanted to close today's episode with just like a little more smattering, because I'm not completely finished with this yet, but with a little more on our foot fetish audition, Masked Man.
Ooh, do tell.
So basically, as I left the information last time, I had divulged the fact that this man, Tony D'Alessandro, is actually the same man as Anthony Fusco, who was a man who had been doing it for years in New York and had, like, all these quote-unquote projects he was working on, and then Dan Savage wrote that expose on him. So, basically, I was doing a bit more research, but basically, here's the thing. I'm like, I'm so torn about it because part of me has realized, like, does it feel like I'm fetish shaming someone, which is something that I brought up in the first episode. And I really don't mean to. Like, I personally am not into feet. I've gone to school with enough dancers. I've had enough experience dancing where, like, I've seen many disgusting feet in my life. But this man has just gone through so many lengths to, I don't know if I want to say legitimize his fetish, because he also does it in a lot of ways that are kind of sneaky and untrue to people. And so I'm very torn by this whole thing, because I think on the one side, I've been following this man who has a fetish and who, as a lot of society, like, kind of seems to be, like, I think he maybe feels that people look down on him for it. And so he feels like he maybe has to do it in secret. But then at the same time, I'm not buying that he is not exploiting actors, which I have expressed so many times is one of my biggest issues with this and in life. And so, I don't know. Next week might be the last chapter of it. I might reach out to some of these actors to see if this is a bit of me projecting the fact that this man's fetish, it can't be anything more than just the fact that he enjoys feet, or is this man really exploiting actors, and what was an actor's experience working with this man who has gone through so many lengths, so many different identities, so many different quote-unquote casting calls just for his fetish.
Yeah, I do think it's both. This is his fetish, and we're not fetish shaming, but as you said, like, it's unfortunate if he feels like the world has sort of shamed him on what makes him happy. But at the same time, like, you can't, it gets gross once you feel like you have to bamboozle people into doing something for you, you know?
Right.
It's just, it's like,
and the theater company or festival that he gets his stuff produced at, he also helps run. So it's like, is this all kind of a way for him to find an excuse to, like, legitimize his fetish? Like, what came first, the theater company or the need for having young actors come and audition for him in their mid-20s while he tickles their feet? It's, yeah, it's, I don't know.
It's a little on the gross side, but
it is. Yeah. But I didn't want to, like, I still have some things that I want to, like, talk about with it next week and really go into it. But today I kind of wanted to offer a little more insight into how I'm feeling with it. Because I feel it's just crazy. Going through and clicking all his different profiles and seeing all the different fake names and way he feels like he needs to hide, it made me really sad. So that's where I am. I'm sorry. I feel like it's not as intense as it was last episode with it, but it's, the saga is just, it's so weird.
Yeah, it is such a strange saga that this has turned into. And I feel like a little analysis is necessary to just get a better idea of what this is and who this guy is. Because no one is born being a con artist in a basic sense. Like, something led to him doing this. And
I really want to reach out to these actors that I've found to see if maybe this is all me projecting on him. Maybe these actors had amazing, wonderful experiences with him.
Maybe. Yeah, reach out to them and see who responds. Yeah. And I would love to know how that goes for our next episode.
Totes my goats. All right, kids. Well, that is what I had to say about the foot fetishist today, as the foot fetish saga,
The foot fetishist strikes again.
Yes, he strikes again, and he keeps striking. It's so interesting how even recent this show was. I mean, it was within the last month. Ooh, but yeah.
All right. So I think let's maybe end this one on a more positive note. Let's think of a diva to close this out today that'll sort of lift everybody's spirits as they finish up this episode. Who should we have end this week's episode?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of one who does, like, really fun, funny things. Maybe, like, Carol Burnett?
We could do Carol Burnett, sure. Or how about, in honor of her passing this month, we could do Barbara Cook.
Oh, yeah.
Some glitter and be gay.
Yeah, what an upbeat way to end this episode. It's like, yeah, let's play us out. Dead Barbara Cook.
But you know what? It's oh, Barbara rest at in peace. Her most no, we ferocious, should pay homage. So.
Yes, the way I love glitter and be gay, too. Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, everybody.
Okay, thank you for listening, once everybody. Again, we'll talk to you again in the next ep. Have a good week.
Yes. Take care, guys. Bye.
Peace out, Bobs.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.